So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
To the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. I tell you, as always, man, it never ceases to amaze me how much stuff we really have to talk about every single day. You know, we never run short of news on this program, and that's what makes it so fun. But, man, I'll tell you what, it just, I don't know. It's a lot of fun, but it's a nightmare realizing things are really as screwed up as we think they are. In the meantime, speaking of screwed up, how are you, Mr. Martin?
Hey, watch it, pal. I'll stomp you into the turf. But, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I'm sitting there listening to you ramble on. You know, you ramble.
Of course.
About all the stuff that we get to talk about. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not a good thing. It's really not.
Well,
I was just like, hey, is there anything you want to talk about today? No? Okay. Good, everything's cool. Later, you know.
Well, I hear you, man. I mean, I guess it's good.
How nice would that be, you know? Hey, I've got to go work my full-time job. Everything's great. I'm getting overtime. I'm out of here. But, no, we're not there.
Well, I understand that, too. And, you know, realistically, I mean, I guess it's good for your news programs. I mean, you know, the mainstream news guys, they actually make a paycheck lying to everybody, you know. And shows like us that tell the truth that don't get paid. So, you know, what the heck? You know, speaking of getting paid, not getting paid and everything else, little local story today, not many people are paying much attention to, but apparently Greg Fisher, this came out yesterday, last night, and I missed it, but apparently Greg Fisher is being sued by none other than Councilwoman Barbara Shanklin, who is under investigation for ethics violations that exactly mirror what we impeached former Councilwoman Judy Greene for. So, she says that he's not giving her a public record. Apparently, her lawyer is Aubrey Williams, and this guy is the king of, trying to do this bait and switch stuff. I mean, he ordered her not to even testify and ordered her out of the hearing, two or three times. But apparently Greg Fisher is one who decided to dissolve the upholstery program for ex-offenders because the money was being spent on what? Barbara Shanklin's family, not ex-offenders.
Yeah.
Well, apparently the question now is that, did Fisher have the authority to disband that program? And her attorney seem to think that this is going to help her case. It doesn't matter who disbanded this program, does it, Ed? The facts don't change as far as what she was doing with the money.
Well, it might affect something. It might buy some time, the old legal wrangling crap and stuff like that. But I think the end result is it's gonna be the same. It's just at this rate, I guess Aubrey Williams likes those checks. I guess they have the Louisville Metro written on him or something because, he's all this crap is costing the taxpayers, So first off, she's dull as a 14-watt light bulb. If you've ever listened to her talk or anything, Why did they elect her anyway? But I'm sorry. I hate to speak of someone like that, but I'm sorry. These are people who get $200,000 discretionary funds. This woman, she's dense. She's dense.
Well, here's the fascinating. The thing that makes it so funny, though, Ed.
Again, she's going through all our money. She's elected, and she's like a beaten puppy when her attorney says, "Just get up and leave."
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. It's like, yeah, well, there's your community leader for you. Yes, sir. I'm going to leave. and we're already paying for that. We paid for her malfeasance. We paid for her shenanigans. We got to pay for her damn attorney. He wants to get her another attorney. Now he's playing games as soon as the mayor, so now we're going to end up paying for the mayor's legal fees to fight this crap, and whether he's in the right or the wrong. It's like, geez, come on, people. Is somebody going to get pissed off about it sooner or later or what?
Well, speaking as someone who does open record requests constantly, I'm very familiar with that system, and so is Barbara Shanklin, who has open record requests sent to her office all the time. Shanklin requested records related to Fisher's involvement in the investigation, if you will. She did an open record request seeking the public records in September of 2012. They actually went to the hearing. The hearing was done in November. So 2 months later, they still didn't have these records. So rather than request then that the hearing get delayed until they could settle the records and everything else, her attorney went ahead with the hearing. He didn't request them to delay it any later than November the 6th, which is when they actually started the hearing. So this is nothing more than after the fact, they know they're nailed, so they're trying to do everything they can, delay. Now they want to reopen the whole case because they don't have these so-called records. When you do an open records request, folks, guess what? They've got 3 days to respond to you. That does not mean that you get the records in 3 days. That means they had 3 days to respond to you and give you a time and date that those records will become available for you. So in September, when they originally requested these, they should have gotten a response 3 days later. Shanklin knows this. Aubrey Williams knows this. And that would have told them when they could expect to receive the records. If those records were not expected to be available before the hearing in November, then you requested a delay at a hearing because you haven't got all the available information. They didn't do that. This is nothing more than kick the can down the road, all the trickery that goes on with these damn idiot attorneys. This guy's getting paid by the hour for us, $150 an hour minimum is what he gets paid. This is all a joke. So now they're demanding that the whole thing gets reopened and that Shanklin is supposed to be awarded $25 a day for every day that Fisher denied her access to the public records. Is she that hard up for money where she's got to take even more tax dollars? I don't know. I mean, she already gets paid $42,000.
They haven't removed her from office or anything, so I'm sure she's still, she's still racking up pension credits. I'm sure she's still racking up, your health care is paid for, all the good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
She's still in there.
Well, she's racking up over $42,000 a year as a Metro Councilwoman, she's still sitting in office, so she's not doing without her paycheck. And that's for a part-time job, folks. Most wish they could get paid that for part-time work. So this is nothing more than trickery and tomfoolery by her attorney. I just found it very funny. I wanted to share that with you guys. I mean, if they don't even know the basics of open records laws, it's no wonder she got caught with her hand in the cookie jar. I mean, it really is that simple.
Yeah. Although not unlike Judy Greene's issues when she was fighting it out. I'm kind of open, you know. Part of me is sitting there thinking, any potential, you know, inside the Democrat machine cat fights in this one. It's like, is Barbara going to break out the claws and take somebody else down with her? It's like, we can hope, you know.
Oh, I hear you. It is mind-boggling to me what these clowns come up with. But I thought that was a pretty interesting story to share with everybody. We've got some national issues we ought to talk about tonight, Ed. And quite frankly, you know, we'll get into gun control in a minute. But here's a story out that came out Friday. Senator Bob Menendez. This guy now. I mean, this is the same guy who was caught a few months ago that we talked about, who had an undocumented, illegal, alien pedophile working for him, okay, in his U.S. Senate office. Gee, I wonder why he supports the DREAM Act, okay? The U.S. Attorney General ordered the FBI not to make any arrest of this guy until after the election, so they delayed a justice for election purposes. So this is already, to me, a serious concern. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder should be brought up on charges. So should Barack Obama. Of course, it won't happen. So now we've got an illegal sexual predator there. Well, here we go. Bob Menendez took three trips to the Dominican Republic. Two of those trips, he finally paid back his friend. He was flying on a private jet with his buddy. He finally paid him back on two of those trips. But lo and behold, he didn't pay him back till 2 years later. And why did he do that? Because
after
he found out the FBI was investigating him. Exactly. He got caught. So he figured he would pay for those two trips after the fact because of the investigation, because it was illegal for Menendez to take the trips as gifts. So he tried to cover his own butt by paying for the two trips. Now we find out that the reason for these trips to the Dominican Republic may involve Menendez going over there for underage prostitutes. So Menendez is now being accused of being a pedophile and using prostitutes. I've got some serious concerns with this kind of stuff, because this guy continues to come to the top of the table for what? You know what I mean? If he's got an illegal in his office, knowingly an illegal pedophile in his office, and he knew this, and he wasn't removed after the election, he ended up getting reelected, we've got a serious problem here. Now that we know that he's taking trips to the Dominican Republic without disclosing them, and oh, by the way, he's seeing underage prostitutes, then he's a pedophile as well. How is he still in office and hasn't resigned if he hasn't been kicked out yet?
Well, I don't know, Ed. I mean, he's a Democrat. He's probably got a constituency like Barbara Shanklin and Jesse Jackson Jr. You know, he's a guy who's in mental hospital and up on federal charges, doesn't even campaign and gets elected. I don't know, Ed. I mean, it's just one of those things. You know, people are like, how did our country get so screwed up? I'm like,
oh, I know.
I don't know. Let's just take a look at some of the clods that we actually keep electing, and I don't know, you connect the dots.
Well, I mean, that's exactly it. The dots are all connected, but nothing ever gets done. That's what I'm trying to understand. It's fascinating to me that they don't do anything to these guys. You know, if that was me or you, you know, as an American who was a pedophile, we wouldn't be close to a U.S. senator's office. If that was me or you who got caught with underage prostitutes, I don't care if it's here or abroad, we would be held accountable. That's what I'm getting at. That's what I keep trying to tell everybody. There is no accountability for these guys, and that's why we continue bringing these stories there.
And that's why I tell you, always catch me referring to the political class, because, you know, again, I always go back to being a small business owner. It's like, look, if I swat one of them on the ass or something, I'm probably going to get in trouble, you know, whether it's in a bit or it's a bird, anything. You know, there are things you don't do to because they get you in trouble.
And oh, yeah, I mean, in a workplace,
so,
and
so
if you tell...
So, so far over the edge, I mean...
If
so
you look at a woman that's working
and,
for you in the workplace,
the money that they, you know, the violations of people that they're involved and the money involved is just absolutely mind-blowing.
It is. And you as an employer in the workplace, and you work out on the floor with your employees, you're a hands-on boss. You know, if you look at a female on your floor and you say, damn, girl, you're looking good today. You know, you've got potential sexual harassment against you. This guy's flying to the Dominican Republic.
Oh, yeah.
To screw underage prostitutes. I just don't get it. Let's go with the phones.
Yeah.
That's our 805 number.
What's the point? I mean, we make jokes about the side hug, you know.
Yeah.
It worked. You're friends with your employees, but you got to do the side hug because you can't do the front hug.
Oh, God, that's it. We're on the phone,
you know,
805.
Don't do the front hug.
I hear you.
Hey, Ned, it's Mayo.
And this guy's blowing it on so many different levels. I mean, good Lord, it's prostitution. It's international. It's probably, you know, I don't know if it works if the Mann Act, which they slammed Chuck Berry with years ago, does that apply? This guy's, ow. I mean, he's not pushing up daisies. How in the hell?
All right, Ed, we're going to the phones. Mayo, what's up, buddy? I heard your voice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just what you were saying. I think it's funny because during the investigation, they found the landlady. They found the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
The names of the two girls matched on the document. The landlady, she said she thought they were, like, very beautiful foreign exchange students.
Mm-hmm.
Different places where parties had happened because the people were ticked off because the rooms were trashed, et cetera, with Menendez. But yet the lamestream media, you know, the releases... Menendez investigation dead end. Is the title of the newspaper. I can't think of the headline. Thank you. Couldn't think of that for a second. And that's one of the reasons why they are the tail wagging the dog.
Oh, it's totally incredible to me because these guys continue to get away with this. I mean, you know, if nothing else in this whole world that this guy has done. He has got some serious, clear ethics problems. And, you know, he's not being held on those charges. But what do we expect, though? Because we've got William Jefferson Clinton out of Arkansas, not the former president, the congressman. But he ended up, you know, getting caught, you know, taking cash, bribes, and everything else. Did he lose his job? Why, no. No, he didn't. It's totally mind-boggling to me why this continues to go on. I thought it was a very interesting story. Because it's just funny to me because this guy continues to do whatever the hell he wants, and he can continue to do whatever he wants because he happens to be a senator. That is a problem for me. And then, of course,
we just got to start calling it what it is, and it's one of my phrases. They're political class. We're not.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
They're like everybody else. They're like the Roman Senate, you know. They're royalty. They're like feudal England and France. They can do whatever the hell they want.
What really kills me is how in the hell do the people in his district elect him? How do you justify? I mean, as a voter, how can you justify electing an idiot like this? I mean, it makes no sense to me. It's pretty interesting, but that story is going to get bad real quick. And, oh, by the way, the reason he was under investigation in the first damn place is that he owes the IRS over $11 million in unpaid back taxes. But the IRS and Barack Obama want to make me pay more.
Now the question, now I hear that, and the first question in my mind is, good God, what does this guy do for a living? That he made so much money that he owes $11 million in taxes. He had to have some brains at one point in his life or another, and all of a sudden they're gone.
Well, it's really interesting because, you know, it depends on which report you listen to here, to be honest with you, because some reports say it's Bob Menendez that owes the back taxes, and some say it's his favorite political contributor who also paid for the trips to the Dominican Republic. So, you know, Salomon Melgen is the guy who has the private plane that he took Menendez to the Dominican Republic in. So You know, we don't know for sure, but I know Melvin's office in Florida was raided by the FBI last week. So I'm assuming that the story that says he's the one that actually owes the taxes is the story, not necessarily Menendez. However, you know, that's unclear on some reports. So it's really interesting. I mean, these guys have known each other for the last two decades.
Even at that, like I say, how do you make enough money to owe that much in taxes and then just become stupid and unethical and just perverted?
Well,
that's
a good question. That's a good question. And maybe that's why Melvin is a great friend with Menendez, because he's been able to cover his ass for almost 20 years. You know, maybe this is, you know, because that's the thing. You know, it appears that it's probably Melvin, not Menendez. And again, we don't have a clear picture here because reports conflict. But it appears that it's Melvin, because Melvin's the one that owns a plane. He's the one that owns the houses in the Dominican Republic. He's been a friend of Menendez for almost two decades. So, you know, I mean, this is, you know, maybe that's why you buy a senator. You know what I mean? You buy a senator. Why not? Because you don't want to pay taxes. Well, now that the senator is in trouble.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe you get him to the Dominican Republic, you make a video of him, you know, doing the Winnie the Pooh honeypot thing, and with an underage, and it's like, hey, from that point forward, you got whatever legislation you want.
There you go. You never know. This is going to be interesting going forward, though, because Menendez is clearly scum for an elected official. You know, Melvin's office was raided. Menendez didn't pay him back for 2 years. The only reason he paid him back was because of the investigation. What I want to know is, how did Melvin know about the investigation in the first place? We don't know when we're under investigation by the FBI, so why would he know about somebody else? You know, there's all kinds of things here that come into being, and we know that there's two sets of rules here. You know, and we have those same set of rules here. Do you realize that here in Louisville, if an officer was to have to arrest, let's say, a Metro Council member, an elected official, they're required to notify the mayor's office and the government offices first to try to work that out so that they're not embarrassed on TV? You know how many Metro Council members get away with garbage because they get covered? That's just the way it is, and that's the problem. We got these two sets of rules by the ruling class elite and the rest of us slugs that have to deal with reality. So, you know, we've got to look at all of that. You know, then we move on a little bit, Ed. I kind of want to get off an index because we've got a whole lot of other things going on here. But
yeah, hey, can I take a minute and go take a shower? Because I feel dirty just talking about that nasty bastard.
I take a shower before and after every show, my friend. Believe me. I do. You got to, man, because you feel like dirt just dealing with it. But apparently the Senate has approved legislation to the embassy security bill is what it is. What's really interesting here is they approved legislation that's going to allow the State Department to transfer $1.1 billion to improve security at U.S. embassies overseas. You know, this is all in relation to what happened in Libya last September and the killing of our ambassador. What's really funny here, if there's anything funny about it, you know, the Senate passed the measure, the bipartisan measure, if you will, by a voice vote. They're giving the State Department the authority to use surplus funds that are no longer needed in Iraq. That's where they're coming up with the $1.1 billion. Now, explain to me how we're borrowing $1 trillion a year, and they can consider any money surplus funds. Am I missing something?
Again, political class versus normal class. Around our house, I'm always asked, you know, do we have any money? And I always say no. No, as long as we owe money to the bank, we don't actually have any money. I mean, it comes and goes in the bank account, but we don't actually have any money till we owe anything. That's how the real world works. It's not how the political class works.
Well, that's exactly it. Mayo, what do you think about that? Is this surplus money when we have to borrow it in the first place?
Well, I'd like to – I mean, how is it surplus? They just had the – I don't know if it's bipartisan or what he pushed through. I mean, they're sequestering U.S. troops. There's going to be 80 to 100,000 less Army next year, 20,000 less Marines. They're canceling building 32 naval ships, taking like 12,500 Air Force, and I can't remember how many out of the Navy. So, you know, you're getting more security for embassies, but yet you're taking away our security for our whole country, you know, by diminishing our troops and their capabilities. So,
well, what about the fact that we're sending? What about the fact that we're sending tanks and weapons and everything else over to the Middle East at our expense, of course? You know, we're giving all this weapons and equipment to the Middle East. Let's look at Israel and other things. You know, and why is it that we are still? You know, when you talk about the money we're trying to save by scaling back in the Navy and the Air Force, for example, you know, we're not really scaling back where the big losses are. We spend billions of dollars that we borrow each and every year. We take billions of dollars of borrowed money every year and give it to foreign aid, to all these different countries. On top of that, we assume all the daggone financial liability, and that's billions of dollars, for bases overseas that we really don't need. We don't do one thing to protect the U.S. border. We never have. That well-armed militia. Well, that well-armed militia that our founders talked about in this little thing called the Second Amendment that's such a point of contention today, that well-armed militia is a serious issue because the only reason that our borders have ever been protected, if you will, is because anybody that wants to come in here and try to take us over understands they might have a gun on the other side of my door or your door. So they don't really want to take that chance. You know, so that well-armed militia the founders put in the Second Amendment to protect us from a tyrannical government also protects our borders because, quite frankly, our government doesn't care to protect our borders. They would rather send all our people overseas and leave us wide open. We don't need a big Navy. We don't need a big Air Force. We don't need all these big things if we weren't trying to police the world. Is that right?
In a way, yes. Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't be the world's police.
I was going to say, we shouldn't be the world's police. That's the first statement to make, but then I'd throw a condition in there. It's like, but if they want us to be the world's police, they can pay us to be the world's police. Instead, we pay them.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. If they want us to come over and man a base for them and stuff, let them build the son of a buck and let them pay us for our time. Let them pay us the billions of dollars. They're not going to do that. You know, Turkey is an ally. They get protection from the U.S. It doesn't cost them a dime. How much money do you think that South Korea is paying us to protect their border against North Korea? They're not. You know, we closed the base in the Philippines, and instead of taking anything out of there that was worthwhile and scrapping and bringing it back here and selling it and getting the money for the military, you know, like we do when we take drug busts, automobiles and things like that, we literally walked away from the base in the Philippines and left everything there. It was fully inhabitable within an hour of us leaving. That means all the base housing, you had all your refrigerators, your washers, your dryers, your furniture, you name it, it's all there. We don't care. And that's the problem. So when they sit here and talk about $1.1 billion in surplus funds, when we're borrowing $1 trillion a year, guys, I don't know about you, but I'm totally insulted. I am not that stupid. So it's going to be really interesting going forward. And there was a story out today as well that, you know, Barack Obama is now trying to push back these automatic spending cuts. That these automatic spending cuts are going to hurt us come March the 1st. So he's trying to push those back. And the deal with that is that it's because the budget office has now determined that instead of having to borrow $1 trillion this year, as we have every year that Barack Obama has been in office, that it only appears we're going to have to borrow $875 billion. So instead of borrowing 100% of $1 trillion, we're only going to have to borrow about 88% of that, so that's a good thing. Come on, guys. Is anybody here serious? I mean, that's what makes it all so fun for me. And this is why we never run out of stuff to talk about, because these guys are idiots, are they not?
Well, I don't think they're idiots, but I think they sure think we are.
Well, exactly. Okay, I'll do it that way.
And the fact that they keep getting reelected, maybe there's some truth to that.
Well, you know what? I agree. I can't argue with that. I have to agree with that. You know, we've got all these automatic cuts that are supposed to kick in on March the 1st because they kicked the can down the road on March the 1st. Obama is swearing up and down they're going to damage the economy. They have to be avoided, blah, 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 blah. So now he's doubling down, trying to work on long-term deficit reduction. He wants to do that with new taxes and spending cuts. Spending cuts are a joke, folks. They just did the fiscal cliff negotiation without one dime in spending cuts. What's going on here yet? I mean, do they honestly think, or are we really, well, let's forget what they think, because you're right. They think that we're idiots. But are we that stupid to continue falling for this?
Well, they do complicate things. And like I say, they've written a completely different set of rules for themselves. I mean, they don't, on some things, they don't give you an honest forecast of the long-term costs of things, which we've seen that in locally in our city. We can't. You know, if you want to find out what the actual long-term costs of stuff are, you've got to get all the papers and pay an accountant to go through and figure it out for you. So they factor short-term, long-term. It's all factored so differently than it is in the real world that I think in a lot of cases people don't get it. Because, you know, a lot of times I hear somebody say, well, you know, they're going to cut $100 billion, you know, blah, 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 on something.
Right.
And my first question is like a year? Or is that the 10-year total? And then somebody goes, oh, well, that's a 10-year total. I said, well, then, you know, that sucks. You know, it's like, well, when you divide it, you know, but then when they say, well, we're looking at increased revenues, you know, of X amount of dollars, and it's like, is that a year or 10 years? Well, that's over 10 years. And, you know, and then if they say, well, this is only going to cost you so much more in taxes, and it's like, okay, is that a year? Oh, well, that's only a year because they don't want to multiply that by 10. You know, so.
Well, no, they don't. And I mean, what more do we have to give? I mean, the Republicans, you know, and I'm not saying the Republicans are great because I always talk about them being the Uniparty. They're no different than the Democrats these days. But the Republicans have already given $600 billion at the beginning of the year. That's what that whole fiscal cliff, kick the can down the road deal was. So they gave the president $600 billion in new revenue without one dime in spending cuts. So, you know, he's talking about all this is going to destroy the economy on March the 1st. I've got news for you. I'm about as broke as anybody in this world. It takes a hell of a lot of money to keep this running. It really does to do what we do every day. You know, it's not just the radio, the websites, and everything else. So I know what it's like to do without. But I mean, I'm honestly at the point where let the economy go to hell. Let it go. Let the Democrats have every damn thing that they want and destroy the working class of America. Let's put more robots in every daggone restaurant like we talked about last night. You know, let's put more robots in every job there is, eliminate every job, put everybody on the street so we're all killing each other for a loaf of bread. Because that's exactly what they want to do. And I don't think I'm far off of that. You know, when we look at what's really going on here, I mean, let's look at corporate welfare, for example. You know, corporate jets and things like that get tax breaks. When you look at, you know, oil and gas, they get subsidies. That's about $4 billion a year subsidizing oil and gas when they're making mega profits. If you think I'm lying about the profits, I'm not. You know, we have to look at the reality here, and the reality is the gas consumption has decreased over the last couple of years because of price. But the gas prices have led to us spending more at the pump. So our overall household budget and our gas expenditures has actually risen, even though we're using less gas. Okay, what that's telling me is that the 30% rise in gas prices since 2010 is a 30% rise in profits for oil and gas. Why do they need more money? Cut the subsidies. Cut the corporate farms. Where do we go here, Ed? Where do we start at?
Well, I tell you where. And, of course, you know, listening to Barack Obama talk about, oh, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to get, you know, long-term growth. And, you know, the thing that always comes to my mind is, you're right. You know, I think you're right. He is right. You know, we do need to focus on the long-term. If we do drastic cuts, it is going to cause problems for the economy. As I said as a candidate, people are like, we just need a balanced budget. And I said, cool. So you're going to cut the federal budget by, you know, $1.4 trillion. Cool. I said, which 10% of the U.S. economy gets it, you know?
That's
so,
it.
That's real. But what flusters me, what pisses me off, you know, again, because we don't get to do this in our world, is the fact it's like, oh, wait, we just went over the fiscal cliff, we negotiated a Band-Aid thing, and now, 2.5 years after the fact, Barack Obama's coming out with a more of a mission statement of sorts. You know, nothing specific. We need to, you know, we need to try to stay away from the sequestering. You know, my question is, if you're the leader of the free world, you're supposed to be so damn smart. You're supposed to be surrounded by smart people on your staff and your cabinet. There's supposed to be smart people in Congress. There's supposed to be smart people in the House and the Senate. I mean, there's supposed to be smart people there. And now, after the deadline has passed, then they finally say something smart. It's like, where in the hell were there, where was this 2.5 years ago? I mean, if I sat on there with my head up my ass for 2.5, you know, for 2.5 years, I'm going to be living under a bridge somewhere because, you know, if I don't deal with things on a daily basis as they come at me and try to get ahead of things, you go bankrupt, you go homeless. And these guys can piddle around for 2.5 years. Actually, he's been in office longer than that. He, you know, since so he had 4 years, 4.5 years, the man's been in office. And, oh, we're just now getting around to that. Yeah, good. Great.
Oh, it's pathetic. Yeah. It really is. I tell you, we're going to take a quick break. We're a little bit late on that, about 5 minutes late, actually. We'll take a quick break, come right back. I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I want to get into some of the things that the latest reports on gun bans, clips, and that kind of stuff. And it's going to be interesting to tell you folks exactly which congressmen actually own guns and which ones refuse to identify. So we'll get into that in just a minute. You're listening to the Ed Spreaker Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
For you guys that are listening and listening to you, as always, don't forget to hit that little number one on your dial pad. For you guys that are listening on air, on your computer, in your car with Stitcher Radio, wherever you're at, you can reach us at 858-683-1326 or area code 502-805-0334. You know, Ed, we go into break. Before we went into break, we were talking a little bit about the embassy security bill, you know, with the money we're wasting overseas with all these different bases. And, you know, I've got to a couple of stories that are disturbing that came out that we need to talk about. One, I don't want to spend a lot of time on the second one I do, but the first one has to do with Department of Justice drones paper. Apparently, according to the papers that are out now, a report that came out Monday night, you know, the Obama administration's drone program it really should be under some serious scrutiny. According to the report that came out, basically, the United States, President Barack Obama, or anybody that's a government employee that has, you know, a high-level official government status, they can determine that a U.S. citizen overseas can be a target. They can actually kill a U.S. citizen overseas by a drone attack because they think they might be operating with Al-Qaeda, whatever, even though there's no imminent threat. What does that tell us about the direction this president is willing to go when U.S. citizens can be targeted worldwide without any proof or any kind of evidence? And it's not just the president, all right? An informed high-level official of the U.S. government can determine the target is an imminent threat, even though they don't have anything to back them up. All they have to do is say, oh, that's an imminent threat. Let's bomb them with a drone. So if I happen to be on vacation overseas somewhere, just walking around minding my own business, don't know where I'm at. I just happen to walk in front of, you know, down a street that they consider hostile. They know I'm there. They've got the right to shoot me and take me out. What do you think about that?
Well, I think, actually, big picture, I think what they think is, and what they know is, they've got the media whipped. Because, again, like we were saying before, you know, a couple weeks ago, the media never would have put up with this crap. Not in the 60s. I mean, they would have, you know, they actually would have exposed police brutality. They would have exposed, you know, soldiers burning huts. I mean, they were so different. And now it's like the media just says, oh, well, you blew up a bunch of kids in Pakistan. Oh, you killed an American citizen with, you know, whatever, just killed him. with no death threats or anything. You just started in and hit him. Yeah, whatever, okay. Yeah. Oh, look, there's a puppy stuck in a pipe. Quick, get a camera crew there, you know?
Right.
And that's where they're at. I think, you know, we count on the media to fill the general public in on this stuff, and they just turn their back on it. I think a government, just like a corporation or anybody else, or just like a lot of people, if, you know, it gets to a point that they think they can get away with it, whatever it is.
Well, this is according.
Well,
this is according.
I mean, to a degree, that's human nature, but the fact that the media, the news media, the you know, the legal, the judicial branches, and lawyers and stuff, the fact that everybody's letting them get away with it, it's just, it's almost like everybody's just giving up and said, okay, you know, whatever you want to do.
Well, it's fascinating to me because this is a Department of Justice, Justice Department white paper. It's a 16-page memo that was given to Congress in June. So this is something that's been out there for over 6 months. We're just now finding out about. And quite honestly, I got to give some credit to NBC News for this one. Michael Isikoff of NBC News, he's the one that put this out there. And it's very disturbing because according to this white paper, Eric Holder's Justice Department put out there, that the Obama administration believes that high-level administration officials, not just the president, can order these drone strikes and kill. This is very disturbing to me. Now, you've got the constitutional experts out there that say that, you know, that this doesn't hold up to any constitutional scrutiny. It can't hold up. However, we have come to find over the last couple of years that the Constitution really is a secondary document. You know, executive authority apparently can trump the Constitution anytime it wants to. So what kind of position does this really put us in? You know.
Well, let me backtrack on a story we did earlier tonight. Menendez, pervert boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make you feel dirty talking about him, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say you write him a letter and say, hey, I have pictures of you coming out of the house with you know, after abusing young teenage prostitutes, you scumbag.
Sure.
Okay, they have a high-level official. He's a U.S. congressman, U.S. senator, whatever. You know,
he's on the Foreign Affairs Committee, sure.
And he says, well, I think this guy is a threat. and you get zapped.
Well, and then,
what are the parameters? A high-level official is a congressman? Is a dirty, filthy congressman? Is a mentally unstable congressman like Jesse Jackson Jr.? Are these people high enough? You know, can they start targeting people? Is anybody going to blow them any grief for overdoing it? Or are you just going to say, yeah, okay, yeah, give us the coordinates, you know, got them?
Well, and that's fascinating because one of the people involved here is none other than Barack Obama's nominee for CIA director, John Brennan. You know, Brennan, who's now a top White House advisor, you know, he is the one who put the Obama drone policy together. He's the one who orchestrated this, and he's the writer of this and everything else. And now they're up, got him up for CIA director, and this is what he believes. And we want this guy in charge of the CIA. You think we got problems now trying to figure out who the CIA is killing? What's this going to do when they can actually kill American citizens? It will. I mean, that's disturbing. And, you know, this kind of leads me to the second part of it, Ed. Here's the second story I wanted to tie into this. Have you ever heard of something called extraordinary rendition?
I've heard it mentioned.
Okay, well, extraordinary rendition is basically the U.S. counterterrorism practice. This is a situation where suspects are quietly moved to secret prisons abroad. They're tortured and everything else.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what this is, I mean, this extraordinary rendition involves 50 nations, according to a report released by the Open Society Foundation. Now, what this tells us is, and this actually started under George Bush, but, you know, they can literally arrest you. It's just like the Gitmo detainees. You know, you move these people around so nobody knows where the hell they're at. You torture them, you know, often to death, you know, and they got these secret prisons set up abroad. Three of the biggest ones, three of the biggest prisons that we know a lot of these prisoners end up just happen to be in Egypt, Libya, and Syria. Yes, you guessed it. Now, what's going on in Libya and Syria? What's been going on there the last few months? These people are uprising because they're sick of it. We're actually taking prisoners, making these deals with 50 different nations, you know, and it's just like Libya, and I hate to make light of the recent killing of our ambassador there, but there were a hell of a lot of reports out of there that wasn't exactly an embassy where they caught our ambassador at, that this was a place that they were using to fund terrorist acts and everything over there. They were using this to you know, work on prisoners and torture prisoners, that this building was not necessarily what you would consider an embassy, and that's why it was targeted, and he was targeted with it. What is disturbing about this, Ed? Everything, right?
Well, everything. I mean, it's, you know, you'd think in this day and age of technology and stuff, you could give somebody a shot and make them spill the beans or something. But, you know, they've got to be violent. They've got to take these people. And, you know, you're talking about Egypt, Syria, and Libya. The one thing, again, that those places are lacking is media coverage. I mean, it's probably very, very easy to go into a place like that with, you know, infrastructure in distress, media in distress, freedom of press in distress, and just rent you a building and find some cruel SOB and tell him, hey, do whatever you got to do to get the information. If he dies, you know, if the suspect dies or the subject dies, then you look at him, it's a big desert out there, you know?
Well, that's exactly it.
There's an ocean 40 miles that way. Don't worry about it, you know?
Let's go back to Mayo. Mayo, shoot, man.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of interject what you were saying earlier. I mean, I don't know about the, you know, $880 billion you were talking about, but Obama's credits kind of got cut short. So he has actually started leasing American oil rights to the Chinese, first one being in Texas here recently. Another thing with the drones, the story came out similar, and with everything in the news, you know, the semi-automatic rifles, mm-hmm. How come it's an assault rifle when it's in a private citizen's hand, but yet the Homeland Security just bought over 7,000 of them, fully automatic, and they're called personal defense weapons?
Well, they are personal defense weapons because, you know, Mexican drug cartel leaders don't fall under U.S. law. So they're going to give those 7,000 guns like they always do. They'll call this one, instead of calling it Fast and Furious, Fast and Screwed Up. You know, and they'll give that to the Mexican drug cartels, let them use them as personal defense. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because all of these things add up, and people just don't pay attention. You know, when we talk about why we're having problems around the world, here's another great example of that with this extraordinary rendition. You think it doesn't matter? Think about this, folks. Ibn al-Shaykh al-Libi, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, and I know I'm not. Anyway, he was a Libyan national and top al-Qaeda operative. He was detained in Pakistan in late 2001. What happened in late 2001, folks? September 11, right? He was detained in Pakistan right after that. He was sent by the U.S. to Egypt. We took him to Egypt, to one of these CIA houses, and started torturing him. He went out and told the CIA that Saddam Hussein had trained al-Qaeda in biological and chemical warfare. You know, he later withdrew the claim. However, that was one of the largest reasons that the U.S. invaded Iraq was because of the lie under torture. So we went into Iraq. How much does that cost us, not just financially, but in American lives and soldiers' lives? Here's another disturbing part of this. Barack Obama, you know, had pledged during the last election to end the use of torture. He was issued an executive order that was going to close the CIA's secret prisons around the world, except he didn't exactly follow through with that. He has permitted the U.S. to circumvent any due process obligations for anyone accused of being a terrorist suspect. So if they want to call me a terrorist suspect because I might put something on Facebook that says, you know, our president, you know, is killing people with drones, I may be a terrorist suspect. They can designate that to me, and they can ship me anywhere they want to around the world to one of these CIA safe houses that he uses for torture. So, you know, we've got all of these different things. 50 nations, folks. 50 nations. And we wonder why the world hates us. We wonder why we continue having problems in Syria, in Libya, in Egypt. Why is this? This is a good example of why. Because our government, they don't want to get caught torturing prisoners on U.S. soil. So they take these prisoners to these foreign countries. And these guys are more familiar with these foreign countries than we'll ever be. Okay? They include our allies, Canada, United Kingdom, Germany, Jordan, Yemen, the UAE. These are all part of this 50-nation group that we actually take our prisoners over to and torture. Ed, talk to me, man. This is crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I say, the thing that strikes me as so odd about it is you, there are you know, there are different ways of doing it. Why the brutality? Why the secrecy? You know, Let's just get them out on a boat, hit them with some sodium pentothal or whatever, get them getting drunk, come up with something. I mean, do we have to go back to that extreme? And like you said, it's to a point now with NDAA and Lindsey Graham sitting up there with his little feeding hands going, and we will lock you up, you know. It's like, damn, it's just gone, it's all gone wrong. It's just, And it's all based on fear. You know, we got hit on 9/11. And our government has told us from that point forward, be afraid. Be so afraid that you're going to give up your rights. Be so afraid that you will be willing to sit back and watch us violate human rights on other people. And this is the only way, you know. And if they get you afraid enough, you're going to believe that this is the only way. And it's like, They're using it to gain control over us. They're using it to gain control over other people. It's just like,
We continue talking about the world and human rights violations. Remember China and the Tiananmen Square episode. We continue trying to hold the world responsible to these human rights violations, and we are the biggest human rights violators there are. I mean, you know, we have more nations involved in this than the ones I've mentioned. Australia, Sweden, Italy, Macedonia. This is incredible to me because all of these countries are out there allowing these black site prisons, if you will. All right, that's what they've returned to. They're out there torturing these people. We went to war in Iraq based on lies from a guy that was being tortured. We went to war in Iraq based on the lies Colin Powell told the UN, okay, because of the testimony largely from this guy, this Libyan leader, this al-Qaeda leader, okay, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, if they started torturing me, I'm going to tell them anything they want to hear, man, just to make them stop.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. And we just pay, you know, we're paying the price for that even today. So, you know, we've got to figure out something here. And instead of dealing with this stuff, what are we doing? We're going ahead and setting up a situation where we're going to take the guns in America so we can't defend ourselves when these people finally get sick of this crap overseas and want to come over here and take us out. We're going to make it easier for our nation to be taken over. Supposedly, anyway. I want to switch real quick before we run out of time on this. It looks like the assault weapons ban probably isn't going to happen. You know, we had talked about that before. I know you said it wasn't going to happen. I still believe there's a possibility of it. But it looks like that ban is not going to happen. And there is a serious concern right now about the magazine, because these guys have been trying to keep our magazines at 10 rounds or less. And it looks like that may be a problem. But ironically, you know, those two issues are actually a problem for the Democrats. The Republicans say they're not going to give in on it anyway. But the Democrats are scared to give in on that because they really want the federal universal background check, federal trafficking law, and things like that. So they're willing to give up the semi-automatic assault weapon bans, and they're wavering on the high-capacity magazines so that they can keep the universal background check. Is that a good trade-off?
You know me, yeah, I think so, because I've long said, and we've talked about it, it's just, I think they need to check the backgrounds on people, because I don't want somebody that's buying a lot of firepower strictly because they weren't, you know, they were just barely bright enough to live past a certain birthday, and now they can buy pretty much anything they want. Hell no. Yeah, I say we let them, you know, got to do a background check. And you know me, I'm one that sits there and I think a background check ought to go one step further and ought to be kind of like a driver's permit or a driver's test or something, where you ought to be able to answer some of the more basic questions about the laws and about firearms. You know, I would prefer that you knew what a center fire or a rim fire bullet was.
So for you, it's okay. So for you, it's okay to have the background check, and as long as we can still buy the guns and the magazines we want to buy.
Yeah, because you know, do the background checks. There's still going to be people that are going to buy them illegally, no question about it. There's still people who are going to move them illegally, and even, you know, and if they did push for the magazine thing, it's like, my God, it's a piece of plastic or a piece of steel, and it's small. Enforcing that's almost impossible. So, yeah, I think the background checks are, I think it's fair. Like I say, the thought that somebody could walk into a gun shop because they survived somehow past their 21st birthday and can say, yeah, I think I want to hit my credit card. I think I want that $3,000 Barrett 50 cal rifle, you know, with a semi-auto rifle with a 15 power scope on it. Yeah, that's what I need.
All right, Mayo.
No.
Well, I mean, there's already background checks in place. There's already laws in place. One of the things enforce what we already have, and we wouldn't have half of the problems that we got. The one thing I don't agree with, I mean, something was kind of snuck in there. I don't know if it's a more money for the government type deal. Last I read was 5 years. Another one was 3 years, but having to re-register your guns every 3 to 5 years and pay a fee again, just like you register your car every year and pay your taxes on your car. I mean, you know,
I had seen that, Mayo. You're absolutely right. That's part of the package. To me, that's probably
all I could say is good thing I don't own any guns.
I could understand if you were a major dealer or a, you know, trader, collector, gun show guy, something like that, and but even then you're already paying your taxes, your fees, you know, et cetera,
based on your inventory, right?
Like a car. A gun isn't like a car. You drive a car, therefore you need roads. You need taxes to take care of the roads.
Right.
You know.
I'm kind of inclined to agree with our friend Kim Mulman over at Liberty Unbridled. He does our show here on Sunday nights at 7. You know, if we're going to have a background check, and I think, you know, as it stands, Mayo, I think if I'm understanding you correctly, and tell me if I'm wrong, you don't have a problem with the background check as much as you do having a problem with another illegal tax that they call a registration fee every 3 to 5 years. Is that correct?
Correct. I mean, different states have different. Some are 3 days, some are 2 weeks. You know, the background checks are already there. Yes, I mean, for years, I think there should be a, you know, for the guys that are trying to follow the law, you know, the legal citizens, you know, have a database, you know, for criminals, a criminal database. It doesn't matter whether you were, you know, burglary in Kentucky or robbed a liquor store in Georgia, et cetera. You go to get a gun, they look at your name, they look at this, your social, bam, no, I can't give you a gun, you're a felon, just because you went across a state line. And, you know, in this day and age with the internet, I mean, I can talk to a friend in Australia, you know, VoIP, you know, free of charge, but yet the government can't get their act together to have a criminal database between the continental U.S.?
Well, see, and I agree with you there because, you know, here's the thing. Americans.
And that's what I've always talked about. You know, hell, credit cards, they know what you're going to buy before you buy it. You know, the stores you shop at send you coupons for stuff that you were probably going to buy anyway. I mean,
right.
Not only do they track everything, I mean, your cell phone, you can't move. They kind of know where you're at. All this technology, and I'm with you, and the government can't just track something as simple as a felony conviction or a mental, you know, some sort of flag on your ability to purchase guns. I mean, and it's only going to show up at gun shops.
Well, I agree. I think the majority of Americans don't have a problem with a criminal background check, including me. I'm an avid gun owner. I'm not shy about it. I've got no problem admitting that. I love owning my gun. It has actually helped me, believe it or not. And most people can't tell you that, but it has. So I don't mind owning my gun. That's not a problem with me. I would not have had a problem if they ran a criminal background check on me before they gave me that weapon to make sure that I wasn't a felon, you know, or, you know, a violent criminal. So I've got no problem with that. However, you know, as I stated last week on another show, we did a show last week about this. I have a major problem with having one to register my weapon. It's nobody's business what weapon I have. I think we proved that with the New York when they went crazy up there and listed the name of all these registered gun owners who had concealed carry permits and everything else and found out they were only 22% accurate, and they endangered a bunch of lives that way, including the reporters who did the story, Gannett News folks. They're the ones that did it. So I think we've already proven the registration requirement needs to be done away with. I certainly don't agree with having to register your guns every 3 to 5 years so that the government can get paid a registration and a licensing fee so that they can continue as another way to tax us to death, okay? But I also think I agree with our good friend Ken Molman at Liberty Unbridled. His show airs Sunday nights at 7 o'clock right here. You know, but Ken is under the impression, and I agree with this, that if you're going to do a criminal background check to buy a weapon, that criminal background check should not stay on your record for very long. Now, Ken seems to think 30 days is enough. I would disagree with Ken on that, but I think 6 months to a year after a background check has been done to purchase a weapon, I would think that that's enough time for the government to have information on you. And at that point, I think it's time to get that off your record. But I don't agree with registration. I don't agree with the illegal taxes that Mayo just pointed out. And, you know, I have no problem with a criminal background check. I think most people don't. Real quick, because we are in overdrive, Ed, I'm going to let you get your closing arguments in a minute. But just for giggles here, you know, our Kentucky and Indiana congressmen, you know, they were asked if they own guns or how many they own, things like that. Well, Representative Andy Barr refused to respond to the question on whether he owned guns. Senator Dan Coats, these are both Republicans, folks. Senator Dan Coats says he does not own any guns. Democrat Senator Joe Donnelly, he's out of Indiana as well, no guns. Our good friend Republican Representative Brett Guthrie declined to say whether he owns any guns. Representative Tom Massey, I love this guy. I've got to tell you this, folks. He's here in Kentucky 4th District. He is a gun owner, very proud one at that. Senator Mitch McConnell declined to say whether he owned guns. Senator Rand Paul is a gun owner. Representative Hal Rogers declined to say whether he owned guns. Representative Ed Whitfield is a gun owner. John Yarmuth, of course, declined to say whether he owned guns. And Todd Young, you know, said he was a gun owner. When you look at this list of our representatives that were contacted for this, 4 of them essentially admit to owning guns. 2 of them say that they don't. And the rest refuse to answer. Why is it that these guys refuse to answer whether they have a gun or not? Because they're closet gun owners.
You know, pleading the fifth, effectively pleading the fifth, that's like saying, yeah, but I don't want to admit it officially.
That's it.
Really? Come on. It's like, you know, I'm only joking a minute ago. And I said, good thing I don't own any guns. Yeah, I own at least one gun. You know, it's like, gosh, you know, it's like, come on, guys, seriously?
What's interesting about this?
You know, it's not like asking if you're going to a foreign country to get nasty with underage prostitutes like Menendez. It's like, look, it's a constitutionally guaranteed right. There's nothing illegal about it. I mean, you know, the police own them, the army, everybody, it's okay. You never have to hold their hand and say, it's okay, guys. If you own a gun, you can tell people they're not going to flip out. They're really not. It's like, hey, by
right.
the way, you're from Kentucky. You're from Kentucky. It's okay.
What's fascinating about this list to me, though, is the fact that it was Democrats and Republicans alike. The Republicans are the ones everybody screams about want guns, and they want guns, and they want guns. You know, but half of the people that said or declined to say whether they own guns or not were Republicans. The other ones were Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, and it's also interesting because you have Democrats who actually admit to owning guns. So, yeah, when we look at this in a broader picture, I think I like what Representative Massey said to the Courier-Journal when they did this survey. You know, Massey's spokesman said he will not disclose the contents of his gun collection, which I don't blame him, but he does own firearms that Obama seeks to ban. You know, he admits to having a concealed weapon permit for the last 10 years, and he collects Class 3 firearms, which include machine guns, silencers, and short-barreled shotguns and rifles. Now, I don't know anybody that said Tom Massey has ever went on a shooting rampage. He's a newly elected representative, U.S. representative in the House. I don't remember anybody accusing him of going on a shooting rampage and killing people at school or going to Washington, D.C. and shooting people at the Capitol. You know, so I like the fact that Massey stands up. I like the fact that Rand Paul stands up and admits that he's a gun owner as well. John Yarmuth, closet gun owner. I'm sorry, folks, he is. You decline to answer a silly question like that. It has no meaning for anything that you're doing. You know, you're trying to hide something, and that's the one thing that I can't stand. You know, same thing with Brett Guthrie, Republican out of Kentucky. Declined to say, come on, guys. Mitch McConnell, come
yeah.
on, guys. You guys are above that. So I just thought that was interesting. I wanted to put that out to the people. We are out of time. We're well into overdrive. Mayo, thanks so much for the call. I sincerely appreciate it. Ed Martin, final thoughts.
Well, you know, final thoughts. Like I was pleading earlier, I think whether it's anything from guns to interrogation camps and interrogation houses and other places to drone strikes, everything that the government does to us is done with fear. Whether in Obamacare, oh my God, you're not going to be able to keep your health care. You know, you're going to die. You know, food stamps. Oh, you're going to die without them. And your goal without government protecting and torturing people and blowing people up, and whether they're citizens or not, some bad man with a beard and a turban is going to kill you. You know, and the American people buy into it, and the media lets them. The media is complicit anymore, and I don't get it. I think the American people, and that includes people on the right, too. I mean, you know, how many times have you heard the people on the right, oh, Obama, the closet Muslim, is going to come get your guns? It's like, people, stop being afraid. You're Americans. You know, it's our heritage is not to be afraid. Just get on with your business. Tell the government, hey, thanks, but no thanks. I don't need you killing in my name. I don't need you. I don't need you to protect me. I'm good. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to pay my bills. If you don't mind, stay the hell out of my life and don't mess with other people on behalf of me, because that's not what I'm about.
Well, you know, I'm totally with you there. You know, for me, I mean, I'm getting sick and tired of all the cover-ups, lies, and deceptions. Barbara Shanklin, just on a local level, trying to sue the mayor's office and playing this silly game because she knows she got caught with her hand in a cookie jar. You know, now she wants to reopen a case that we've already spent thousands of dollars pursuing that they knew about prior to the hearing ever taking place. That's a ridiculous abuse of taxpayer money. When we look at the things like the Senate approving legislation that's going to, you know, switch $1.1 billion of so-called surplus funds that are no longer needed in Iraq. We shouldn't have anything in Iraq. We went to Iraq under lies and false pretenses. Get the hell out of there. We talk about the cutbacks in the Air Force and the Navy that Mayo talked about. You know, the billions of dollars we're going to have to cut back on equipment and everything else that's supposed to defend our borders. Well, frankly, our borders aren't defended now. We found that out on September 11th of 2001. We found that out quite a few times since then. Okay, until we get serious and quit doing things like extraordinary rendition that we just spoke about ad nauseum, you know, until we start realizing that we are the biggest human rights violators,
in the world today, not these other countries that we continue trying to hold to a standard that we won't even hold ourselves to, we're going to continue having problems. The guns are nothing but a dog and pony show. Legal citizens owning weapons in America is not the problem today. It has never been a problem. The only problem in America with legal weapons are the illegal guys who take them. That's it. Criminals have the guns. They're the ones that need to be held accountable, not me. Not me. And that's the problem. We have two sets of rules. We look at Bob Menendez, who jumps on a plane and goes to the Dominican Republic so he can screw an underage prostitute, reportedly. Okay? We've got his friend who surprised all this stuff to him, who's had great cover from Menendez for the last 20 years, that owes $11 million in IRS taxes. I wouldn't get to a point where I owed $11 million in IRS taxes. I would be in jail. There are so many things here with the double standard, from the money, the lies for foreign aid, the lies for foreign wars, to the lies right here at home over something simple as an ethics investigation. Our politicians are out of control. They think they are the power elite, and they have this deserving mentality. Our Constitution does not give them any rights that they don't grant to me or you. Our Constitution says all men are created equal. It doesn't say unless you're elected. It's time to get our minds right, folks. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, Dale the Truth will be here. And, oh, boy, just wait for that show. I'm sure that's going to be a great one. Thursday night, as always, TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. And Sunday with Ken Mulvin over at Liberty Unbridled. We appreciate you being here, folks. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7. Take care. Have a great night, Mr. Martin.
Have a good one, too, Mr. Springsteen.
All right.